Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a verse of the Quran clearly gives us the guidance and the direction. This is in Surah Najm, this ayah. And the meaning of it is along the lines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that you should to your desires not consider them to be purified and clean. Allah ta'ala says, I know. Allah ta'ala says, I know what is better, who is clean, who is pure, and who is the muttaqi. Who is the person who fears me? The mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran, they write that one very big disease within the person's batin, this Allah Ta'ala is directing us towards that, hinting us towards that. And Allah Ta'ala talks about the batini deficiency that within insan, within the human being, the diseases that we have, the deficiencies that we have, the illnesses that we have that we cannot see, and we call them internal diseases, batini, internal hidden diseases. And these are our, or this is our lack of intellect and understanding, that we don't pay attention to these diseases. We don't pay attention to these things. And to this extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are very dangerous, that there are big azab for these in the hereafter. Big azab, big punishments for these in the hereafter. And upon this, a person will get the punishments and he'll get the negative results. In the world, these destroy a person. The batini diseases, the internal diseases, the internal deficiencies. So in the worldly sense, they are very dangerous. But for the hereafter, they are also much more, if not more, dangerous. As I said, we don't pay attention to these. That how do we tackle these diseases? That we should be brave and courageous and strive and try. The methods that the Quran and the Hadith tell us, we should use those techniques and methods to control our internal diseases and deficiencies. The deficiencies that we have within us, the batini maladies, we should strive, we should make attempts and make efforts. And the person who does that is doing tazkiyah, is the person who remembers Allah, the person who goes towards Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And these are the Sufi individuals. This is the title that's given to them. Allah Ta'ala says that special function with them, Alhamdulillah, this is the karam of Allah, this is the mercy of Allah, that a person understands this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That look, Allah Ta'ala says that the zahiri, external beauties, the external decoration, to decorate yourself and make yourself look good externally, Allah says you will not attain success through that. Through decorating yourself and having good worship and ibadat externally, zahiri. Zahiri means externally. That's not how you will attain success. But Allah Ta'ala says success will be attained due to the purification of the batin. Due to the cleansing and the cleaning of the batin, of the inner state of our souls and our spirits. If we take a percentage out of the believers who pay attention to their batin, to clean it, to purify it, then there's a very small percentage. There's hardly any of us consider that I should remove lying or envy or backbiting or slander. Does anybody think or make efforts that from within we should eliminate the qualities of backbiting? That there are many diseases or sins that we can remind ourselves of and that we don't pay attention to. If I sneeze, suddenly I think, oh, I'm getting a cold. Let's get some medicine from the chemist, paracetamol. Three sneezes, and we suddenly think it's got worse. We start putting haldi into the milk, into the water, and honey into the water. And how much we try and strive to clean, to purify, or to eliminate the diseases of the physical body. But the internal diseases, the batin, and if I sit down for a few seconds and think that, look, I've got these deficiencies within me, then we should be striving so much more and making effort. For example, a person becomes ill, then how do we try to get the illness to go away from us? What will we go? We say to the children or ourselves, we have to go to the doctor, I've got to go to the hakim, or to the homeopathic, or to the surgeon. All the techniques are known. I have to correct this illness, or control this illness, or diagnose this illness. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, very clearly, and the tariqah that Allah Ta'ala gives us, Subhanallah. The Allah Ta'ala says that I am telling you about those things that are attached to your body. So one thing is you have to correct your dhat, your internal self, your batin. And you have to also at the same time correct the people around you. So there should be fikr of yourself and the fikr of the people that are around you. So we have to clean ourselves and we have to give the message to the people who are around us. So we can give them influence and affect them properly. So if the house is not clean and pure, if the house is not order, then how will we influence people around us positively? If the tank is dirty and impure, then how will we give the water to other people? You will make yourself ill and you will make other people ill at the same time. So we have to pay attention to our diseases, to our negative issues, that the batini diseases, the diseases of the soul, of the spirit, of the ruh, will destroy us in this world, in the hereafter, and the people around us. That's why in the Quran and the hadith, the elders in Islam have said that the kutabs have been written, the books have been written, the hadith is there, the tafsir is there, the commentary is there. We should go after that. And alhamdulillah, when a person does this and he tries, then inshallah, then that lying will not stay as lying. There are many people I can show you who have tried, who have strived, and they don't know about lying. They don't know what is backbiting. They don't know what is hasad. They don't know these things. There's no love of the world within those people. No. They don't want to eat or consume or usurp the wealth of other people. If I say that from today, I'm going to correct myself. Alhamdulillah, that is a very bad situation I'm in for the hereafter. Then how can I go to the hereafter with these diseases? That if I backbite, what benefit will I get? Or if shaitan makes me backbite, or if I backbite intentionally, is there benefit for me? And am I attaining something good in this world and the hereafter? No. The ibadah, rather opposite. The effect is opposite. The ibadah I've done, that's disappeared. So if I get angry, there's deficiency. Or if I backbite, I'm getting deficiency. Allahu Akbar. If I'm angry, for example, I think that I have to do this to get rid of the anger. But I'm getting even more angry or getting doing worse things to other people. So how do I get rid of these problems? How do you get eliminate the internal deficiencies? When you follow the method and the direction given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we cannot do this ourselves. And it's apparent that when the disease goes or the illness goes, then it will disappear. So if you are physically ill, go to the doctor, go to the physician, go to the consultant. He will diagnose you, he will test you, he will tell you the medication, he will tell you what to persevere, how to, what to prevent, what to control, etc. And the, when you go to your GP, he's the general doctor. He will then decide which specific and specialist department to send you to. So this small verse I read to you in Surah Najm, it is a small verse, maybe. But how you become successful in the world. Allah Ta'ala says that I will tell you about the illness that is within you. We read the Quran. How many times we've read this verse? Allah Ta'ala says that many times you've probably recited this verse, but you don't understand what Allah Ta'ala is saying to us here. Allah says that look at yourself. That if don't think that you are just clean and you are perfect, O believer, through your ibadah, that those things that have given you to the ni'mah, don't be big-headed and broad-chested and think that you are successful. No. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah says, don't think that you are perfect. Don't think that you are without deficiencies. That person who has this thought, then he is the person who praising himself. Allah says, therefore ascribe not purity unto yourselves. He, Allah, is best aware of him who wardeth off evil and who is the person who is pure, who is the person of taqwa. So let's look inside us. A person who thinks himself as pure and perfect, then he is the person who looks upon himself in the mirror or whichever way, as me, I am the best, I am better. For example, Allah has given you tawfiq to recite Quran, to do dhikr, you've gone on umrah, you've gone on hajj, you do some dhikr and ithkar, you've changed some of your clothing and attire to the sunnah attire or to Islamic attire, you think you've become a muhaddis or a sheikh kabir or a great sheikh or sheikhul hadith, or you've done tafsir of Quran and you've done commentary of Quran and you think you are good and better than other people. Allah says this is not the case. The person who thinks like this upon the things that Allah Ta'ala has given to him and he is on the path of Islam and practicing, then he is praising himself. He has self-esteem. He has a big ego. Allah Ta'ala has given us a ni'mah. Allah Ta'ala has given us something to do for the deen of Islam. Don't think we are something that we are the best. Even if a person is praying five times salah, he thinks he's the best. For example, I'm an alim, everyone else is ignorant. I'm a Sufi, everyone else is a sinner. I'm a dhakir, I remember Allah, I do dhikr, everyone else is a waste. Astaghfirullah. And we don't say this from lips. A person who has a big ego, high self-esteem doesn't say verbally from his lips. It's all within his mind and his heart. The thoughts, they are circulating. He thinks that he's pious, upright, a good person. Nobody can compare to him. Allahu Akbar. This is dangerous. The muhakkikin, the mufassireen have said that this condition is worse than takabbur. Worse than pride. Because what happens when a person has takabbur, pride, is that he thinks for in his nafs, in his desires, he is better than others. But this disease, I've told you, he doesn't need to worry about others. He is rather competing against his own nafs. Within his own nafs, he is saying to himself that my situation is the best and nothing is better than me. He doesn't even compare himself or herself to others. Rather, the person, he or she thinks, I am better. I am the best. I am not even, you can say, the best. Rather, he just thinks that he is good and he has done enough. That I've done enough, I'm good, I'm pious, and I don't need to do anything else. Totally satisfied and content that Allah Ta'ala will accept everything that I'm doing. That I have no deficiency, I have no sins to my name, I've done nothing wrong, and if I compare myself to others, then I'm very upright and pious and sincere and clean. And if there's any regret or any issues come, or if the thought comes, though, have I committed a sin? No, I've not committed sins. Rather, he goes opposite direction. He goes upside down. And the opposite comes about. Why are my du'as not being accepted? I'm doing good things. What's the situation here? That, for example, I sent a bad du'a against a cursed person. Why has he not been cursed yet? Why hasn't he become rich yet? I did du'a, and I did this du'a many times. Why hasn't he been accepted yet? Because he's following the path of the self, what he prefers for himself. He has created such big statues and idols in his heart that he thinks that him or she thinks that I am high status, pious person. I'm doing these du'as. Why are they not being accepted? And with da'wah, from inside, he or she says that, look, I've done this du'a straight away and nothing's being done about it. Or for example, I've done tawbah, straight away my tawbah will be accepted. So this is a stage that a person reaches to when his ego, nafs and his desires, base desires, reach to a dangerous and critical juncture and position that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in hadith that this disease is such an illness that this will destroy and finish off a person. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us from this. But will destroy a person with total his ibadah, his worship. He develops a big head and a big ego and big desires and high lofty status in his own self, his own complexion. And this will take him or her to destruction in this world and thereafter. And everything about that person is finishing. But inside him, his heart, he or she thinks that I am the best. There's nothing better than me. I am sincere and humble. And this is what we call self-praise, self-preference. Raising your level within yourself to such a high platform and thinking and regarding yourself, self-regard as high. But my friends, a person who's like this can be young or old, could be knowledgeable or illiterate, doesn't matter. But the Quran is telling us that this is a very dangerous situation. Allah says, I know better than you. That which maqam are you on? What is the hint that Allah Ta'ala gives here? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اتَّقَى. Allah says, look, if I've given you ni'mah, I've given you the ability to do good, then don't think that you are the person who's doing this. Rather, you should consider straight away, Allah knows better than me why I'm doing this. Allah has given me the ability. For example, I'm praying 5 times a day. Don't think you're better. Allah has given you this. Umar bin Bashar bin Mansur, a great wali of Allah, was praying salah. Like good people pray salah in the correct way, in depth, with understanding. And behind him was a person sitting and looking at his salah, kept on looking at his salah, him praying salah. MashaAllah, he's praying good salah. MashaAllah, Mulana sahab, Sufi sahab, he's reading good salah. And when he was free from salah, then straight away he cured his self-praise. He said that, look, listen, I know you were looking at me, I was praying my salah. Let me tell you something. That don't look upon my salah physically, how I'm praying salah. Don't think I'm a good person. Shaitan did ibadah for 4,000 years. Until 4,000 years, Shaitan worshipped, and what was his consequence? His ultimate conclusion. So, the true, genuine thing is, yes, fine, look at a person's ibadah. He should do ibadah, but don't think through his physical ibadah, he's perfect. Rather think that, will my ending, my death be on the basis of success? And will I have true iman in my heart? And that is the condition for success. That when a Muslim, a believer, is departing from the world, then he should be departing from the world in such a way that waqi'i, most verily, truly, he's leaving this world with iman in his heart, and he's remembering Allah at that time. This is how we should think. Let's think and analyze, what is the state of affairs within myself, within my heart, within my batin? What is the criterion for being a pious person? A wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. There are such people, and Allah gives this maqam. So we should all have this desire. I should have this desire. You should have this desire. The sisters should have this desire. The brothers should have this desire. We should all desire that we become walis of Allah. So how does a person become a wali of Allah? Through abundance of worship, through having the sign of mihrab, prostration on the forehead, or giving a lot of charity, lot of sadaqah, lot of recitation of the Quran, lot of dreams and visions, or lot of knowledge of deen? No. How does a person become a wali of Allah? What is the definition of wali of Allah? What is the criterion for a wali of Allah? How does a person attain that status and level? The wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. What is the sign if you are seeking or want to know if somebody is a friend of Allah? The sign of that person is that his actions, for example, his inner state, his batini state, his state of his soul and spirit, all of those deficiencies and sins have been transformed into good qualities. That person struggles, backbiting, anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, pride. He's working, chiseling away at these deficiencies and perfecting his batin and soul. If a person prays 5 times a day salah and fulfills the compulsory requirements of Islam, 5 times salah, pays zakat, fast in Ramadan, Hajj once in a lifetime, and he does these properly according to the level and conditions that are set down for these to be performed. And if you don't have the strength to perform nawafil, voluntary acts, not that you don't do it, but you cannot do it for some reason, or you can't get up for the Hajjud, etc., then don't be scared that you are, if you don't do these specific things, you cannot be a friend of Allah. If I haven't done more than one Hajj, I can't be a friend of Allah. No. You fulfill the 5 compulsory deeds of Islam, then you have to have fikr. When you've completed the 5 basic fundamentals of deen, the tenets of faith, your salah 5 times a day you are doing according to Sharia, according to Islamic requirements, you are fasting according to requirements, you're giving zakah, you've gone on Hajj, and you've got the shahada in your heart, and you're doing the compulsory deeds correctly, and you want to be a friend of Allah, what should you be focusing on, paying attention on? What should you be worried about? If you want to become a friend of Allah, what should we be striving on? On which point should we be striving? That the internal diseases, we need to eliminate them. That's it. Yes, so don't think, oh, if I pray tahajjud and I pray every day for the rest of my life, but the internal diseases are there, I'll pass. No, no, no. Straightway think, I have fulfilled the 5 basic principles of deen, and I haven't done much voluntary ibadah on top of that. Allah Ta'ala says, then if you clean the internal diseases, then you'll be fine, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says, though, in the opposite, if you do the opposite, and you do not clean yourself, you don't purify yourself, and you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm fine, then you're not fine. Allah says, no. If you fulfill the 5 compulsory basics of the deen, and you clean the internal diseases, you purify your batin, you do tazki and tafsiyah, that is the very important step to embark upon first and foremost, for this world and for the hereafter. And what do we do? What do we do? Oh, let's start praying tahajjud. Let's start doing these voluntary actions. And some people, look my friends, deen starts from Islam. And Islam starts from the very basic and first step. The weakest person, that is where Islam starts from. Look, I'll give you the example so you understand. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we pass our attention now to his blessed life and think that there was an event, and it's a long event. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah and he was very concerned at that time. And Rasulullah was in his room, resting. And this was such an event that at that time, there was, you could say, difficulty for the Muslims, and they were trying to strive and make improvements. So Hazrat Umar asked for permission. He sought leave to enter, and Rasulullah was in the room, and he entered, and the Prophet was lying down on a straw mat, nothing else in the room, and that straw mat was torn. And there was basic items in the room, nothing else apart from the bare necessities. And Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu saw this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is lying down on this straw mat, which is leaving marks on his blessed back. And he said that Kisra and the other kings, they live in their palaces. And alhamdulillah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in this state, living in this condition, these conditions. So he requested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surprised and said, oh Umar, you are thinking like this? You are saying this? That why don't we have this and why don't we have this? That Allah Ta'ala gave them the dunya. We do not need dunya. For us is the akhirah, the hereafter. So now the point I'm trying to explain to you through this example, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the final Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, in whose ummah nation we are included. And Rasulullah didn't say, I'm hungry for 5 days I've not eaten. And the Sahaba had one stone on their stomachs. And Rasulullah would lift up his blessed shirt and he'd have 2 stones tied to his stomach to alleviate that pain and that necessity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as the role model, the example for the whole of mankind and the universe. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the life of ease and luxuries and comforts like a king, then the poor person, who would he have made as the role model? Who would he have turned to as the example? How would he overcome his poverty and hardships and desperateness? So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the role model for first step person who is at the bottom of the rung, you could say, in terms of wealth. So when somebody asked somebody, the Hazrat, you haven't eaten for so many days. He said that I am fulfilling that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm enjoying that now. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the life of poverty and hunger. I am fulfilling his sunnah. I don't need the bread and the chapatis. So this is the standard of our deen, alhamdulillah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our deen Islam, the basic lessons start from the bottom level and they go up from there after that. So a person who doesn't have the meal for 3 times a day or twice in the day or maybe not even once in the day, he will be happy and content that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his stove didn't light for a few days, he didn't have food to eat for a few days, so I'm fulfilling that great sunnah myself. And the hikmah and the blessings of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were such that he didn't have anything to consume. Then alhamdulillah, if I practice these, then the light and the nur and the benefits will come into my life. If this was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the two worlds, then why shouldn't I pass my time like this in the same way? So look at the status and the power of Islam, the nur of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala says all the basic lessons of Islam have been designed such and will reveal such that they start from the basic steps, the easy to understand and implementation steps. So we need to look towards our sins, our deficiencies, our batini illnesses and sins, our internal maladies, and learn and make plans on how to control them. Allah says, I don't look towards the huge magnitude of ibadah. There will be people who will be ill, who don't have money or wealth, who cannot do things. No, I'm not saying don't do this, don't pray tahajjud. Pray tahajjud with dhawk and shawk and passion and zeal and desire. But Allah says, balance your life out. Do voluntary acts, but at the same time remove the compulsory deficiencies that are there, the haram that is there. Don't be content on your worship, your physical worship. Don't be content on the level 1 of Jannah. No, you should say, Allah give me Jannat al-Firdaus. Allah give me the nearness and the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in thereafter. And this should be our standard. So alhamdulillah, it should increase. But as I was saying, now I'm telling you a level, a station that will come, that to become a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, a person who's near to Allah, then Allah says the criteria is not that you have to reach the hajjud, or go umrah twice a year, or go on hajj every year, or recite the Quran every month, or the whole Quran once a year. This is nawafil, voluntary, good, do these things. But if you want to be a friend of Allah, and you don't have the physical courage to do voluntary actions, don't worry, do not tremble, because shaitan starts from the bottom rung, the first rung of the ladder. If you can't do voluntary actions, extra actions, don't worry, leave those things. Don't pray tahajjud for the time being. Don't make big long term plans, but don't make fikr on, don't lie. Make plans for leaving lying, leaving pride, leaving takabbur, leaving backbiting. But we have the mounds of sins and we are going towards voluntary actions. What's the example of that? You have a mountain of sins and you put the blanket over those sins and pretend they don't exist, and you go towards the voluntary actions. So inside we're dirty, full of the diseases of the sins, and we wipe them away. We don't wipe them away, rather we cloak them with a cloth and we run towards the voluntary actions of the worlds. So my friends, this is called self-praise, following the desires, following the nafs. When a person lives the life of following the nafs and the desires, this is a big, big disease. A person who has high self-regard, a high level of self-praise, a big ego and consideration for himself, then what happens ultimately? A person becomes very satisfied with himself. And he says that I don't need any more advice from anybody. I don't need no nasiha. I am perfect, I'm kamil. For example, there's an ill person who has cancer. And if you speak to that person, I heard you have cancer, I'm sorry to hear that. And he says to you in response, I'm fine, I haven't got cancer. Why do I need to go chemotherapy? Why do I need the scan and the laser treatment? I don't need to consume the medicine. So what will be the result for that person? He will get worse. The illness will get worse. And what will happen? What should have happened? When he neglected and rejected that disease and didn't take hold of the cure because he had self-praise, high self-regard. I don't need to cure myself. Dunya is saying I'm unwell, but I'm fine. So same way, let's apply that to the example I'm saying. We say, I'm not a liar. Allah says, you're a liar and you think you're pure? Allah says, you're a liar and you think you're good? This is the verse I recited in the beginning, isn't it? This is what I said to you. That Allah Ta'ala says here, clearly, you think you're clean? No. Allah says, you are impure. How can you say that you are clean? The Quran says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِنِمِ التَّقَى. Allah says, you are impure. Therefore, ascribe not purity unto yourselves. Don't ascribe purity to yourself and say you are perfect. Allah says, fair enough. Nobody knows you. No one in the world knows you. You think you're best because nobody knows about your sins. But Allah says, I know you, don't I? I know you, don't you? Allah says, huwa a'lamu. I know about you, don't I? I have knowledge of you, don't I? Allah says, I know who is the muttaqi. Huwa a'lamu biman attaqa. Allah says, let's stop there. I know you are the sinner. You are impure. Become a good human being. Don't consider yourself as successful. Rather, cure yourself. But what does the person with the big ego do? Who has high level of self-praise? He says, no. Don't tell me to correct myself, brother. You worry about yourself. I'm fine. He carries on. And the same hadith comes back. He destroys himself in this world and the hereafter based on his mountains of sins and impurity in the heart. So we get a hint here. If we think we are great, we've passed the test, we're going to walk into paradise, then this is the incorrect way to approach life, my friends. We are sitting in the gathering of tazkiyah, purification. So shall I explain to you how to scan yourself so you can see, so we can all leave successful from this gathering? Shall I tell you? Then the first glad tiding I would like to give to you is that all the brothers who are sitting here, or all the people who are included in this majlis, this is guaranteed that you are not people with big egos and high level of self-praise. Alhamdulillah. And I'll tell you the reason for this. Why? Because a person with self-praise and high level of ego is the person who doesn't want to cure himself, isn't it? But, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, praise be to Allah, a person who doesn't have this feeling, he steps and walks towards the cure. He runs towards the cure for the batini diseases that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So why have I said this to you, that you are, mashallah, not the people of pride and high self-egos? Because you've come to this gathering of dhikr. You know that dhikr of Allah is the cure. It is the solution. It is the cleansing agent. It will take out the deficiencies of, we don't want to lie, we don't want to backbite, we don't want to do wrong things. All of the gatherings of tazkiyah, of dhikr, of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and they meet the walis of Allah through those gatherings, it's guaranteed those attendees are not people with big egos and high level of self-praise and self-regard. Because they have come to this gathering to cure themselves. So how can a person who thinks he's successful, why would he want to come? You say, I don't need to go to your gathering. I don't need to go to the dhikr. I don't need to know and have a sheikh and a teacher. Ah, I've seen many walis of Allah. I'll take the deficiencies out myself. I don't need a teacher. But the person who is not this will say straight away, no, brother, I've made mistakes. I've got issues within me. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, go to my friend. After that, do tazkiyah. Take the sheets from him. Get the form from him. And ghibat and backbiting, every single thing, then the wali of Allah will strive and make effort with the student. For example, you've got the sheets to analyze yourself for backbiting, for lying. Then see how much you will try hard to not make the mistake, so that your analysis at the end becomes positive. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the worst of people, who is worse, thousands worse than you, and Allah Ta'ala has given him the responsibility that, subhanAllah, make the good people around him even better, and you meet that person and you don't do amal on that, then how sad is the situation for you? That you are pious people and humble, and you've been given a person to guide you who's not even near to your level. You should go to your teacher and say, Hazrat, take this in out of me, help me take this in out of me, take this in out of me. What a great tarbiyah. Allah has given us the signs, but we don't think this. My friends, I'm not talking about dhikr here. Dhikr is a tablet, you can say. Dhikr is a pill. You know when you go to the doctor, oh doctor, I've got this illness, this is, you'll say, this capsule you have to consume in the morning, and alongside that, this capsule tablet you eat in the afternoon. If you say, just give me one, you say, no one. This capsule has this so many milligrams of this medicine, it will do this objective and fulfill the elimination of this sin, this illness, and the other tablet will take the other illness out of your body. In the same way, dhikr of Allah, the Shaykh's prescriptions of what to do in the morning, evening, afternoon, one thing, one lesson, one dhikr will remove one sin, and the other prescription, the other lesson, the other part of dhikr will remove nothing. So if you say to your Shaykh, my teacher, I want some time from you, then the Shaykh gives you time, and then the student says, Shaykh, shall I tell you the truth? You know, sometimes I commit fraud, sometimes I consume haram, sometimes I have a fag, I smoke the cigarette, sometimes my eyes, they stray, you know, I drive the taxi and I start looking left and right and I do zina. How can I tell the people of the world, the Muslims, that I look around at women, I look at the girls? But I have to tell my Shaykh, I have to tell my teacher, because I need to improve my sins. So when you go to the Shaykh, when you go to the teacher, then it's not just this, that the teacher will explain to understand the objective of taking bayah, pledging allegiance, the path of tazkiyah and tafsiyah and tasawwuf. What is this? This is to create the basis for us to succeed on the day of judgment. When you're ill, people will tell you, go to the doctor. And you will be advised to go to the doctor who's registered with the doctor's council or the, whatever the panel of doctors is. And for example, if people say, don't go to this doctor, he will consume your money, he's a private doctor, he'll just charge you too much. When you then vet that person, has he got a degree, has he got MBBS, and he's got years of experience, and he's got good reviews, then say, no, those people who told me don't go to him, they're jealous of him being a good doctor in his practice. Rather, I'm going to go to him, to his practice, and take the solution, the cure for him. You've seen this. You look around your area. Who are the GPs in your area? You compare them. You look at the reviews and the feedback people give. And then you will go to that person who's the best from all of them, isn't it? Who is giving the cure to the people. And build up your confidence the same way you build it up for the wali of Allah, for the teacher who you should take, who can cure your issues and problems and maladies. For example, there are two takeaways. One's on this street and there's one on the other street. And one takeaway will say, don't go to the other one. The chicken he cooks is from Holland. It's haram. And he keeps on saying that, and he distributes leaflets, and he takes the customers away from the other person. His shop had to shut down. That landlord, he had to tell other people, I swear by Allah, my food's halal. But nobody wanted to listen. So Allah Ta'ala says that, look, when a person, you think he's a friend of Allah, he's pious, look at his degrees, look at his certification, and if his stamps of approval go back in the chain to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, can he be wrong? Can he be wrong? Open book and the stamps are there and you can see the lineage of the chain of the teachers goes back to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then can you say that person is wrong? Of course he's not saying he's an angel, that he is sinless, astaghfirullah. Only the prophets of Allah are masoom, innocent. A wali of Allah is not masoom, innocent. So a person can make mistakes. But we have to see, is he recommended? Has he been given ijazah? Has he got a lineage of teachers back to Hazrat Rasulullah ﷺ through Abu Bakr Siddiq? If this is the case here for us, in front of us, then inshallah your deficiencies will come out, your lying will come out, food will come out, haram will come out. If they don't come out, then don't come to me on the day of judgment and complain about me. I'll say, Allah, I gave them a formula, I gave them forms and sheets, I gave them time. When they were ill, I used to go to them myself and visit them and explain to them. I said, don't just do dhikr, not just beard and turban. This is about the internal state of is. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah says that person will be the successful person. You shouldn't have the jealousy, the anger, the envy, the hatred, the malice within your hearts. I swear by Allah. I can swear by Allah and say that when a Muslim comes into this condition, that all these internal diseases come out from his inside and his batin, he will become that human being that people will look at his face and become Muslims. People will look at his face and become Muslims. By looking at his face, they'll say that he's a believer. Today, we have so much ibadah, we have so much worship, and despite having all of this, I speak about myself. That take anybody, you tell him, pray salah, go away from me. I know you as well. You're a fraudster. You cannot make someone pray salah. We can even bring the people of your home towards the thing. You can even bring your children towards the thing, because they know what you're about. When the phone comes, oh, tell him I'm not home. Aha. Tell him I'm not home. I don't want to listen. We teach our children how to do the wrong things and lie. I swear by Allah, the Muslim, his example, can this be the shan and the status of a Muslim? Was Iman who's recited La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah is such a kalima that when a Muslim recites La ilaha illallah, then the reverberations reach to the arsh, to the throne of Allah. In the hadith, a Muslim, there's no Muslim that if he says La ilaha illallah, the reverberations don't reach to the paradise, to the arsh of Allah. And a Muslim who prays this, but what's the reason we don't have this effect? We sit down, we're satisfied, I lie, no problem. I pray salah. If I do fraud, doesn't matter. I go on hajj, don't I? I take somebody's wealth, it doesn't matter. I go on tabligh, don't I? Or do this action haram. I'll do this action because I do ibadah and worship all day long. I do so much dhikr. I read so much Quran. No. This will not come in use. I said to you, isn't it? Five faraid, the five compulsory deeds, if you fulfill them, that's quite a lot for you. And if you don't do any other worship on top of that, but then you strive to your utmost 100% to eliminate and remove the internal deficiencies. Don't lie. From your tongue, you don't give pain to another person. The pain of the tongue, the ill use of the tongue, the pain you will give to somebody is worse than 1,000 attacks from the sword to that person. Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person is great, this place is great, but the mu'min, he's the believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the Kaaba, the house of Allah, is great, the maqam, the level is great, but it is not greater than the izzah, the status and the respect of a Muslim. But within seconds we will remove that respect from the Muslim, astaghfirullah, or we'll try to do that. Look at our situation, our condition in the world today. There's one reason for this. If we say, Hazrat, today that on Umrah, on Hajj, there's so many people, you can't get the seats in the plane together. There's so much rush around the Kaaba in Makkah and Medina. It's so hard to get to the Blackstone Hajarul Aswad to kiss it. There's so busy this, that so many Muslims go on Umrah and Hajj, so much ibadah is done. So why is it that today we are so behind and we're weak and we're being overwhelmed? If we are truly people who are doing ibadah and worshipping, that before, so few people did Hajj. And nowadays so many people do Hajj. On every 4 meters or 100 meters, there's a masjid on every corner in every city and town. So why are the Muslims then weak today? Somebody asked this question and there was one answer. Now brothers, all of this is happening. No doubt there are people running left, right and center saying Islam, Islam. But when a haji goes back after doing Hajj and he swears at someone, or he disrespects someone, or takes the honor away from someone, or makes somebody angry, or beats the innocent child of somebody, or he weds somebody and brings her to her home, then he swears at the parents of that woman and he oppresses her, then tell me the skies start to shake and the land starts to shake. Where will the Hajj of that person go? This tongue, Allahu Akbar. It should be mercy, 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 mercy. The mu'min's life should be full of mercy, mercy, mercy. Should be forgiveness. You should forgive for the sake of Allah. You should leave some person's deficiencies for the sake of Allah. And people should see our characteristics and qualities and come into Islam. Such a great deen, full of qualities and attributes. Attribute upon qualities of qualities. Islam is the name of peace. The definition of Islam is peace. Islam is a shelter. It is a shelter for every other deen of the world. But today, Allahu Akbar, we are looking for shelter from those people who don't recite the kalima. If I stay the night with this person, will he steal my money? He's a believer, he's Muslim. Will he take my goods, my stock? We'd rather sleep on the pavement, but we won't sleep in the house of the Muslim. We're worried about the safety and concern. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, a Muslim, if you say a salam to a Muslim, you should have no doubt he'll protect you. Close your eyes, rather give your money. Here, brother, can you entrust my money? Inshallah, if I pass away, no problem, but I will get this from you when I wake up. These were the characteristics of the Sahaba. What's the reason we don't have this today? Not that we don't pray salah, not that we don't recite the Quran. What's the reason that we are in such a dire state of affairs today? Shall I tell you what the reason is? Do you know what the reason is? Our internal state of affairs is diseased. We are impure, we are black inside. Our batin is full of diseases and sins. Allah says you cannot attain success. Doesn't Allah say in the Quran? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَ. So who will call a person a Sufi? Who will call a person a wali wallah? My friends, if you've put the titles on your name yourself, then yourself you've got a high level of self-praise, self-regard. You're saying you're good, you're pious, you're upright, you're a good person, you're clean, you're purified. Allah Ta'ala says, Jibreel, come here. Allah Ta'ala calls Jibreel. Yes, Allah. Allah says, I love this person. Announce. Allah, Jibreel says to everyone in the heavens, Allah loves this person. Allah, everyone says, Allah, is it? Allah says, go to the earth on every square inch, square millimeter of the world. Announce that Allah Ta'ala loves this creation, this human being. Then they come down, they announce to the world, to the jinn, to the animals, to all of the creation. And then they all start to love that person. Do you need advertisement at that time? Do you need the leaflets and the posters that time? Allah says, become like this. Allah says, he's my mabub. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah says in the Quran, become the beloved of Rasulullah s.a.w. Then you don't need to put titles on your name and announce that you're this and that. I will announce myself, you're the walis of Allah and the friends of my Rasul s.a.w. Even after you depart, the people will say, the wali of Allah, he departed from this world. Even after you die, the people will say you are honest and haq and on the right path. Should we be corrected or not? Should I correct myself or not? What do I have to do? Remove the batini diseases, the internal diseases. Make friendship with the wali of Allah. MashaAllah. So, we've come today to the gathering and then do the cure, take the solution and do dua to Allah. And whatever the tariqah Allah will give to you, the method, that for example, you go to the friend of Allah, he will tell you, do this action, A, B, C, D. He will take the swearing out of you, the lying out of you, the backbiting out of you, and you follow that path. Our job is to make effort. Even if death comes before we purify ourselves, Allah will put the title that he has purified himself. Anyway, let's go towards the dhikr. MashaAllah, it was a great enjoyment in speaking about this. A lot of my internal disease, inshallah, will go far away due to this discussion. MashaAllah, brothers, we are all the same level playing field in this regard. So what should we consider? Don't go towards the physical ibadah with the internal diseases. Rather, run towards this Kaaba in the heart and purify it. Make your qalb pure and clean so Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. Wa akhru da'wahum anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.